In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There rings in our ears still the words, the disturbing words of last Sunday's Gospel. The Gospel for the first Sunday after the Feast of the Holy Trinity, one of the most remarkable Gospels of all the pericope. The parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And in hell, yes, there is one. The rich man says, at least send somebody to my brother, warn them of this. And he gets the answer, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Today, we have the prophets in the mode of Jonah. But it is that refrain on which we'd like to meditate briefly. A long hymn calls for a short meditation. Four things. Look what all hangs on that hearing or not hearing the word. This wretched man dies in hell, does not get another chance. Many modern people try to make an imaginary way out of the difficulty by hanging on to the idea of reincarnation. Well, if you muck up one life, there are always a few thousand more to come. And so you can juggle your credits and debits through the eons of cosmic time, and the wheel of karma will somehow balance things out. There's no need to take any one particular life very seriously. Dear friends, the Bible does not teach that. This is pure wish-fulfilling fantasy. There is no cosmic recycling of souls, but there is upon this one earthly life that we get, there lies upon it the full weight of eternity. It is with this life that we shall stand one day before the judgment seat of Christ, either to be acquitted by his holy merit or to be passed into eternal darkness. One of the two. This is the weight of glory that lies upon this earthly life. Everything depends on hearing that word which gives that life. Secondly, that man, Dives, had the idea that if God really wanted to get through to him, he'd send special messengers or let lightning strike or do something dramatic. And he had to be told, God was speaking to him all along, only the man wasn't listening. They have Moses and the prophets. He is implying that he didn't have a chance, at least his brothers should have a chance, he said. You had your chance. You had Moses and the prophets. He had, I'm sure, a much nicer library than poor Lazarus, full of sores. But he didn't pay heed to it. There was Moses and all the prophets, and the man ignored them every day. One basic thing we need to learn in our lives, we must not expect God to intervene in all sorts of special ways if he really wants to get through to us. He is getting through to us in his word and sacrament. That's where he wishes to deal with us. Let us not tempt him as Jonah tempted him. But Jonah was a prophet. Yes, there are special interventions in the lives of prophets and apostles. We are not prophets and apostles. We are their students and followers, humble men and women of God who live from the word that they have transmitted to us. Of course, God does, by his divine providence and by his mercy, order and superintend and arrange every detail of our lives. But it doesn't come in the form of special revelation. But every turn of life is to turn us also to hear that word. Not only in the sense as though the hard things drive us to the law and the pleasant things remind us of the gospel. It could often be the other way around. It is in good fortune when things go well with us, that we need to take stock and heed the Lord's message of repentance. And it is often in times of reverses in life, when things are hard, that we're reminded of the gracious discipline of God, our Father, who disciplines us as dear children, and who in his own Son, who drank that cup for us, will never give us any poison, no matter how it tastes. Bane and blessing, pain and pleasure, by the cross are sanctified. All the circumstances of life, the good and the bad, are to drive us to that word and make us listen, open our ears, to hear what is said to us through Moses and all the prophets. Thirdly, to hear that word is to heed it. Oh, a lot of hearing goes on. We're so bombarded by communications, we hardly pay attention to it. But this hearing needs to be heeded, because it offers things that no other hearing offers. It gives God and life itself. But it needs to be understood and heard, not as interesting information, curiosities about an ancient world, but as judgment and grace. These are the two things God wishes to do with his word in us and through us. These last few days, there was a letter to the local press by one of the local ministers defending an indefensible statement by a certain leading Protestant church which wanted to redefine sexuality in ways more compatible with our sinful and evil preferences. And so marriage is only one of those options for so-called lifestyles. And this minister now wishes to defend that and say it's not so bad, because it seeks to make meaningful God's word for us today in our situation. God's word doesn't need to be adapted to us. We are to adapt to it. If we try to tailor and fit and change the word of God to make it comfortable for us, that's not hearing it. Then we're doing the very same thing that rich man did. He closed his ears to the proclamation. He wanted to make up his own religion. There was much more pleasant than the one God had given him, at least for the time being. Lazarus lying at his gate should have reminded him of his duty to his neighbor, what the law of Moses teaches. No, it reminded him of nothing of the sort. To hear the word of God is not to make it fit us and our preferences, but to submit to it, and to weep tears of repentance and tears of joy in the gift. And with that, we have arrived at the final, the last thing. We said before, we hear the prophetic word today in the mode of Jonah. Jonah is a good example of not listening very well. Although in the end, when God got his attention, he did speak, and look, 100,000 people were converted by that word. But the greatest thing in Jonah is something he wasn't even aware of. Little did he know, in the belly of that fish later, that he served as a great picture, a great forecast of the great act of salvation of the world, where Christ would be in the earth for 3 days and three nights and rise again victorious, having won the victory over sin, death, and hell for us. To hear Moses and the prophets, to hear the apostles and the evangelists, is to hear God, who by his law, of course, brings us to contrition, but above all, who draws us to his Son, who at the baptism of his Son says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," and at the transfiguration adds, "Hear ye him." To hear, to heed God's word in Moses and the prophets, is to come to him of whom all the prophets, all the scriptures testify, Jesus Christ, our divine, human, Lord and Savior. His word, whether it be the word of the incarnate word, and the word that he speaks in giving us baptism, in giving us his body and blood, as we will tomorrow, to see, to receive, and evermore in our lives to come to trust him more and more, to let go of ourselves more and more, to repent of all that we are, and to live more and more only from what he gives. That is truly to hear that blessed, life-giving, supernatural word as God wishes it to be heard.